God's trying to tell me, but I had the honor of being asked to introduce the speakers both last night and tonight. And to me, it really is indeed an honor that I get to stand up here and do this. About 9 years ago, at this very campout, when I was a newcomer, I heard a woman from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina speak. Her name was Colleen C., and she really touched my heart and my spirit. And a couple years later, my sponsor at the time went back out, and I needed a new sponsor. For those of you who are around here, there's not a whole lot of women to choose from. So I ended up getting a long-distance sponsor in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Colleen C. When I had about 2 years clean, I drove to Myrtle Beach to do my fifth steps with my sponsor, because we do that in person. And I got to meet some of my sponsorship family, which was a really cool experience, because I sometimes feel like I miss out on what I get to see other people experiencing in the rooms, that accountability, the relationships, not knowing as many of my sponsee sisters. So when I had about 2 years clean, I went down to Myrtle Beach to work with my sponsor, and I got to meet this chick. And she was a hot mess when I was there, but come to find out, she only had a couple months less clean time than I did. But I got to kind of sit back and observe and watch my sponsor work with her through a difficult situation, which not only made me love my sponsor even more and make me realize that I picked the right sponsor, but I got to connect with someone in my sponsorship family for the first time. Since then, we've become friends online like many of us do, and I've grown closer to her. I went down to Myrtle Beach again in February to celebrate my sponsor's 30th anniversary and got to meet some more of my sponsorship family. In the meantime, Missy has moved to Maryland, so she's closer to me now than she is to Colleen. So I'm hoping that I get to spend a lot more time with her. But in the meantime, we've invited her here to speak, and I think you're really going to enjoy the message of recovery that she brings. So without having to hear from me anymore tonight, I give you Missy H.
I'm Missy, I'm an addict. I'm a nervous addict. This is an amazing group of people here. This crew over here, I really like you guys. You guys are fun. I'm really, really nervous. I want to thank Brianna for inviting me out here. This is my first time here, and I will be back. It is a beautiful town. This is a beautiful campground. You are beautiful people, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And I'm just going to take a minute here, y'all, because am I echoing? Like, is this right? Is this normal? Okay. I'm just going to, and everyone can hear me? Okay. I'm just going to take a minute to just kind of let my higher power in and, if you just bear with me. Okay, I'm Missy, I'm an addict. Okay, I'm a grateful recovering addict. And so thank you, Shaney, for introducing me, and that was beautiful. I'm like, great, I'm already crying. Because, you know, what you touched on was a little bit about where I'm at today. Because I did just move. I relocated. It's been less than a month, and I've moved from Myrtle Beach to Maryland. And we all know about change and how that is difficult for us sometimes. And, you know, what the basic text has taught me is that it's not about the change, but the resistance to change, right? And so, like, by sticking around this program for a little while, I was able to take a leap of faith and follow some really amazing things that were happening in my life, and I have relocated, and it is by far the hardest thing I've ever done. And I have been in a place of struggle. I've been taught since I've been clean the importance of honesty. We hear it in every meeting and every reading, and it is important for me to be honest and say that I have been struggling. with the change. What was touched on about the sponsorship being far away, it hit my soul the other day when I heard someone say that they saw their sponsor that day. But my sponsor has been my sponsor since I got clean. I have an NA sponsor who has an NA sponsor who works the NA steps. And that's what I've been taught. This program has saved my life, and I have been taught that I stick around Narcotics Anonymous and I stay in the basics so I never have to go back. So with this move, that's what I have been taught to do, and continuing to make meetings. I just got a home group in my new town, and I forget what it's called. I just joined this week.
What was it? Hi.
Life support. That's what it is. I was talking to a guy earlier today who is from that area, and I was trying to remember, but I literally just joined on Wednesday. I was trying to check out all the meetings in the area prior to getting a home group, and then, like, I was in all of this pain and this turmoil and feeling, you know, separated, because I walk into a room and I don't know the same faces that I did in Myrtle Beach, and it is hard. And I feel brand new again in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm having to do the same things I had to do as I've always had to do, but, like, it's a little bit different. You know, when you pick up the phone when you first get clean, which is one of the greatest suggestions that was ever given to me, like, pick up the phone and call somebody. And I started calling a sponsor, which then gave me the ability to be honest and start calling a network. And I have women in my life that tell me the truth, and that saves my life. That's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And so, like, I come to this new area, and I'm, like, checking out the home groups, and I'm picking apart the differences, and I'm constantly trying to get my perspective in check, that it isn't bad, it's just different, and the change is just something. I know, like, for me, when I share, I don't really try to focus on the disease too much, because Narcotics Anonymous is about the solution, right? And the theme of the camp out is simplicity is the key. And simplicity is the key of it's our symbol, right? Our symbol is that simplicity. And, like, those are the things that I have to follow in order to stay in this program and try to find some balance in my life, like, which is like trying to find a freaking unicorn. But, like, I have a guideline to help me try to find that unicorn. And as long as I stay connected in Narcotics Anonymous, I can learn how to do that. But it is important that I identify, you know, like, I know there's some people that stood up with One Day Clean, and thank you. Like, for me, like, that's a reminder. That's why I continue to stay in meetings in Narcotics Anonymous, because I don't ever want to forget what One Day felt like. Like, I can sit here and say, like, it feels like I'm brand new with One Day again in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in a new area, but, like, I'm not waking up dope sick. So, like, that's something for me to be grateful for. Like, I had a shower today. Today. So that's something. It was a long drive here, like, okay? So, but that's something for me to be grateful for, right? Like, I know where I'm laying my head down. And so when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, like, I didn't have that. And with One Day Clean, like, that's not what my story looked like. And so, like, I'm grateful that in a new area, it's a little bit different than that, but it's still hard. And let me just say this, I just want to get this out there too, that, like, I was super nervous, because I'm like, I everything in me, right, with all the change, I'm in this place in my life with this vulnerability more, and vulnerability is important, but I'm, like, at a whole new level, right? I lived alone for 6 years. I'm now living with my now fiance. Like, I have been a server in service industry for my entire life, and I just graduated school, and now I'm in, like, a 9 to 4. And so, like, it's a lot of change, and I forget where I was going with that anyway. But I was trying to identify myself, right? And so I moved to South Carolina in 07. I like to say that it was a geographical change thing, but it really wasn't. It was more of like, I have nowhere else to go, and I'm actually from Maryland, where I just moved back to. And it was more of like, I had burned every bridge and I had nowhere to go. And I had no idea that my disease was that bad when I left, you know. And so I moved to South Carolina. My family all transported all up there. And the disease of addiction continued to progress in my life. I was that addict that swore that she would never do the things that you were doing because I was different. I was that addict that, like, swore that I was never going to use those certain drugs because I was different. And I thought that I had some kind of control. And until I came into Narcotics Anonymous and surrendered and put my hands up and admitted my powerlessness and the fact that I have no control, only then was I able to find a solution. And so I'm in South Carolina. I was there like 2 days. I stood at a gas station. I found the first person that I thought might would know where some drugs were. And lucky for me, they did. And, like, I wound up traveling back and forth from South Carolina to Maryland for a while. I swore I'd never see the inside of the jail there. I did the whole jails, institutions, substitutions, rehab, all these things. Like, I did all those things, and until I came here, only then was I able to really, like, stay, you know, get clean and stay clean. And so I'm in South Carolina. And I'm running the roads, and I'm like, of course, you know, well, I'm better than you because I'm not doing it that way until that happened. Like, just for example, right, I was like, you know, doing my thing. We all know what it looks like to use. We all know what it looks like when females use. Like, we, you know, not that males are, you know, that to separate us, but the bottom line is that, like, we do a little bit different sometimes. And like, the thing is that, like, I swore that, like, I could not be a stripper. If you've ever been to Myrtle Beach, there is a strip club on every block, right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm too cool, and I know too many people in this town to be a stripper, right? So I'm just sitting in the strip club getting high with all of them, but I was too cool. But I skipped that stage and went right into escorting. Okay, but I still thought that I was better than you because I wasn't doing what you were doing, but I was only doing ways and means to get more, whatever that meant in that day. And at the end for me, I didn't have a choice. There was no longer a choice for me. Like, when I woke up, I had to find ways and means to get more, and I would do whatever it took. I lost everything. I gave away everything I ever had. I gave it away to the disease of addiction, and I didn't have a choice. I was so grateful when I came into Narcotics Anonymous and they told me that I was not a bad person, that I was sick, right? Like, I could identify, like, because then I had some rationalization. Like, that was cool because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sick. You know, like, now the first time I'm coming in, I'm telling the family, I'm sick. You know, you can't. But the bottom line is that, like, I am a sick person, and Narcotics Anonymous is my medicine. This is what I need, and I don't get that twisted for 1 second because, like, I'm afraid. I have a healthy fear of the disease of addiction, and I don't want to die today. And when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know if I wanted to live. And so I come into this program. I do all the things I swore I'd never do. I remember, like, still thinking that I was, like, and I carried myself in this manner of I'm good and I got this and I don't need your help. You know, meanwhile, take care of my kids over here. I don't need you to help me, but I need you to watch my kids all the time because so I can do what I need to do over here. I remember I always had great intentions. My intentions were, like, I'm going to put my kid in sports. My intentions were that if I get a car, everything's going to be better. I had all these great ideas that were going to be the solution. And until I surrendered and admitted my powerlessness, only then could I find the solution, and that was in Narcotics Anonymous. And so I got introduced to this program, and I come in here, and I like checking out the boys, and I got a sponsor who I called here and there, the same one, I'm still in her phone still as Missy Newcomer. That's my name in her phone still. And because she didn't think I was going to stay, and that's okay because I didn't represent myself as if I was going to stay when I was, like, getting up, strutting from one end of the meeting to the next so I could get your attention rather than sitting in a meeting and listening to the message that was going to save my life. I was coming in late to meetings because I was too busy hanging outside with the men, right? And so when I came the first time in Narcotics Anonymous and I used, and they said, when you use, you're going to go back to where you left. And I said, no, I'm not. I have control. I'm just going to smoke a little over here and sip a little over here, but I'm not going to do that other stuff. And then that was not what happened. You know, like I went right back where I left off and worse. And because the disease of addiction is progressive, and that I believe wholeheartedly with every fiber of my body, I believe that in my soul today. And so I understand that to use is to die for me. That I understand that if I put one in me, I have an inability to stop because the obsession and the compulsion take over and there is no longer like a choice in my life. And so like I come into Narcotics Anonymous and I'm playing these games with my life because that's what I was doing. I was playing games with my life, right? And so I used. And I don't like to call it relapse because I wasn't recovering. I was just sitting in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous telling you I had a sponsor so you would leave me alone. I was sitting with all the women in the house that I lived in so you wouldn't approach me and you would see that I was good. You know, and I was taught that when I came back and they said, don't sit with the women you live with because you're not, no one's going to know you need help. You're going to look like you're surrounded. And so, like, I started to stick with the winners. And I don't hear that stuff talked about very much anymore, stick with the winners, because people want to talk about, oh, that's judgment, da 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 da. Like, the winners are the ones that are living this way of life. Because and that's just for me, that's just what I believe. And, like, the program says that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. And it's that last part in the winners that I'm looking for. I'm watching the ones that are showing up when they say they're going to be there. The women over here that are getting their kids back. So when I come back into Narcotics Anonymous after I was stopped once again, I wasn't that addict that was able to walk in and like, oh, yeah, I'm tired and here I am. Like, that wasn't my story. And that doesn't mean that can't be your story. That just wasn't my story. And so, like, I got stopped and I went to an institution. When I got out of that institution, I went straight into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I felt a little bit like I did tonight, that I didn't belong. I wasn't good enough. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They don't want to see my face, right? Like, and that's how I felt coming up here. But, like, the thing is that, like, I didn't self-will any of this. God, you know, I believe in my higher power puts me where I'm supposed to be as long as I stay in His will. And so, like, I walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I sit in the back. I'm watching this guy celebrate, and he was there. The first time I came and he was celebrating now. And that to me was a miracle. And I couldn't believe I was witnessing this. And then, so then I leave the meeting and like I knew where my next meeting was when I left. And then I went to the next meeting and I didn't use in between. And so like I really like the theme about simplicity, right? The simplicity, which is in the basic text, the first word. Well, besides like the credits and all that, but like the first word under the symbol is simplicity. And like, because this is a simple program for complicated people like myself. And so like I come in and they said, just keep it simple. Don't use, know where your next meeting is and go to that meeting. So that's what I did. And I kicked and I screamed and I didn't want to hear what you had to say. I didn't want to follow any kind of suggestions. I didn't want to do this, but I did it anyway. And I would say, okay, I'm going to take this one, but not the next one. And when the next one came, I'd say, okay, I'm going to take this one and not the next one. Now, and I heard my fun little group over here make the comment about relationships, right? And my story is that, like, I did that, and I stayed clean. But it was the closest I ever came to using. And I strongly suggest against it to anybody that asks me. Yes, I stayed clean, but it was the closest I ever came to using. And without a strong foundation in Narcotics Anonymous, I would have used. And what Shaney was talking about, the incident, right? So when I had a couple years clean, you know, I was in this relationship. And I thought it was healthy. And so, like, because there was things going on that I did not know about. And when those things came out, thank God that I had a foundation in Narcotics Anonymous, that I had an open relationship, an honest relationship with you, with my sponsor, with myself, because I didn't for a long time while I was in denial. And so when it was time to come out of denial and I could no longer avoid the black and white and I had to come out of denial, I did the hardest thing that, well, other than moving now, but one, you know, before, one of the hardest things I've done, which was to walk away from something I wasn't really sure at the time I wanted to walk away from. But let me tell you, there again is that example of the resistance to change. For 3 years, I resisted that change because I was scared, because I believed the lie that was in my head that I wasn't good enough or that, like, I could fix this person. And that's what it really boiled down to, was me wanting some kind of control over something, right? And so, like, I get in this place where the pain was so great, and I got into a place where I began to love myself more. And when and it was real easy to stand up at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and say, I love myself, and, you know, positive affirmations and all this and that. But when it became time to act on it, what was I doing? And that's what we talk about, living this way of life. I can know the literature like the back of my hands, and I can know the steps, and I can know the traditions, and I can know all this stuff, but how am I living? And so, like, I'm really grateful that I had an opportunity to practice living that way, because of practicing that, I had the courage to love myself more than I loved somebody else, right? And so, like, my life today is beyond my wildest dreams. And it was because I didn't resist the change. It was because, like, I made a leap of faith and I stepped out of like fear, right? And we talk about in Narcotics Anonymous, like, you know, following in the faith, right? And so it was real hard to do that sometimes. It's real hard to say that I'm doing it. But when it's presented to me in my face, it's really hard to follow it. And so, like, now I come out of this situation, and now I'm empowered. Now I'm like, I am awesome, and I'm a strong woman, and, like, all this stuff. And I remember feeling amazing, because I could finally, for the first time in my entire life, say that I love myself and actually mean it. And that was because of Narcotics Anonymous. That was because I worked some steps in my life. That was because I worked with a sponsor. That was because I built a relationship with a higher power in Narcotics Anonymous. And I didn't have to any longer lean on my own beliefs. I could allow you to help me. And until I had the ability to allow people in Narcotics Anonymous to help me, I was just running circles. I was running circles, right? And so, like, I go through this situation, and that's when I actually met Shaney, we talked about earlier kind of the details, but that's fine. That's the whole thing. So, around that time is when I met Shaney, and I remember, like, the next time that I seen her, she was saying, like, you look so much different. And it was because, like, I was happy. Like, it was because at that point, like, I had become the woman that I was practicing to be, and I can remember, and it's important that I say this because I'm talking about that relationship piece, and I remember saying to my sponsor, damn, I wasted 3 years of working on myself and working on a healthy relationship and working on being honest and working on being faithful and working on all of these things. I wasted all this time. And she said to me, no, honey, you did not. The results are, you put in the work and the results are not up to you. And my higher power had something better in store for me, right? And just because somebody else wasn't working on their stuff didn't mean that I wasn't getting the gifts from working on mine. And Narcotics Anonymous allowed me an opportunity because I didn't use, right? Because I didn't put dope in my body over a feeling, then only then when I came to the other side was I able to find some growth and some joy in my life. And so, like, now here I am. I came up to Maryland to visit 2 years ago, and I reconnected with a guy that I've known since I was 14 years old because he was in Narcotics Anonymous, and I said, I want to go to an NA meeting when I come home. And I hadn't been home in 10 years, and I go to this meeting, we start talking all the time. Anyways, the man ended up proposing in freaking Disney World, you know, a while later, like, in front of a castle, and I'm like a real princess now. And so, like, I, so, So now, like, you know, I was able to come out of a relationship with that kind of turmoil, right? And I come out of that, and I maintained a long-distance relationship for almost 2 years. And I wasn't a psycho then. Now I'm here, and maybe. So, so I was able to be real healthy when I was in South Carolina and he was in Maryland because of the relationship I built with a higher power, right? So, like, I'm in South Carolina, he's in Maryland. I'm like, my God's got me. No matter what, I'm going to be good. And I believe that in my soul, and I still believe that in my soul today. But when I had been living alone all this time and that fully self-sufficient that we learn in the traditions, right? And then I come to Maryland, I take this leap of faith. I got a different kind of job. I'm not getting cash money, instant gratification every single day. I've got like so I graduated school. I finished school before I moved here. And it's important for me to say, too, pray for a slow recovery. Like, my sponsor taught me that. I wanted microwave recovery. I wanted to go to school, get a car, get my kids back, do all that stuff in the first 30 days. I did not get a driver's license until I had 2 years clean. I didn't get a car until I had a little over 2 years clean. I didn't get my kids back until I had around that same amount of time, and that was like a slow process too. I didn't go to school until I had 3 years clean. Easy does it. That's what I was taught. They said pray for a slow recovery, because if I had everything I have in my life today in my first year, I would have ran, because I have this sense inside of me that says that I can't do it. Right? I would come into meetings and I would tell you, I'm nothing. I'm a felon. I'm always going to be a felon. You know, I lost my children to DSS. You know, I all these things. Oh, the world is out to get me. I would have never given myself the opportunity to succeed because I didn't know how. I didn't know how until I worked some steps and I sat down with a sponsor and she said, what do you want to go to college for? And I said, I don't know. And she said, not what do you want to do, not what do you think you can do, but what do you actually want to do? And I said, I want to be a lawyer. And she said, okay, where do we start? Right? And so, like, because in my head will say, well, I'll just be a server forever. And, like, not that anything's wrong with serving. Don't get it twisted. That's good money. I'm just saying. For me, I had a dream. Lost dreams awaken in Narcotics Anonymous, and that has been my story. And so, like, I come here, and I learn how to, like, love myself through some pain because I didn't use. And then I learn I can actually do things and follow through. So I finished school in a long-distance relationship and then came here. And now I'm here and I have this relationship with my higher power and I still believe that my God has me. I still believe that, like, I can, like, I'm a strong woman and I have, but there's a thing called, like, step 6 and 7 and they continue. I must continue to work 6 and 7 in my life, and I work them together because those things will rear their ugly face when given an opportunity. And that is what I have been experiencing lately. And so I come here, and now this overwhelming sense of change and this overwhelming sense of insecurity because my situation has changed, right? And so now I'm really given an opportunity to lean on that higher power that I was, you know, it's easy to say, right? And it's easy to believe when I'm standing on my own 2 feet and anything you do isn't going to change what I'm doing. But when I'm 6.5 hours away from everything I know, every single thing I know, directions, I don't know how to get from point A to point B. I don't know who's sitting in the meeting I'm about to go to. I don't know what side of Target the freaking exit is on. Like, I am sitting in this town and I know nothing, right? And so I begin to find that I'm very, like, the insecurities begin to come up, right? And so, like, now I'm struggling and I'm saying to my sponsor, I'm struggling. And I'm saying, and so I'm blessed, right? Because I've been taught in Narcotics Anonymous how to recover, right? And like, I stay in the basics. I've been taught stay in them, and I don't have to go back to them. So I've been working on a network in Maryland for almost 2 years. when I would visit, I would go to meetings by myself. I didn't want to be known as his fiance. I earned my seat. And I was going to keep my seat in Narcotics Anonymous. And so I was blessed in that way. And so I would come and I would share that with people. And I would pick up my phone, right? And I would go to meetings, and like I'm sitting in these meetings, and they're at celebrations, and these people are talking about how, oh, I remember when you got here, and I don't have that in my new area. Nobody there watched me walk in with booty shorts and pink hair, right? Nobody there drove me to a meeting when I found out the man that my children knew as their father had died right before I had 2 years and I was going on my way to chair a meeting. Those people who drove me that night aren't in the meetings I'm in now, and that sucks. And it's hard, and it's like overwhelming, right? And so now here I am, and I'm in this new town, and I'm feeling crazy as all get out. And thank God that like I have the ability now to like humbly say, like, I'm not okay, and please forgive me, and I'm wrong, right, when I act out. So, like, it's important for me to say that, like, I have acted out on some defects since I've been here, and they cause me pain. They cause me pain every single time. And they're defects that I had tucked away for a long time. And, like, whatever, I'll just say it. So, here's what it was, right? So, when I got clean, I was in my first relationship at Narcotics Anonymous, right? I had a man in NA, and then I had one in prison, too. I was the first person in my recovery house to ever have the prison line set up where they could call the recovery house. And I don't know how I manipulated that one, but I did. And so that was my first year, and that was a good time, as you can imagine. And you know, that was a quite interesting relationship. Very, very sick, right? And because he was a newcomer too, you know, and we both lived in recovery houses, and we were going to meetings, and we were in the meetings, sitting next to each other. Which now I've learned, I don't sit next to you in a meeting unless it's something like this or a celebration. You know what I'm saying? But like when I'm going to a meeting and you're not in my home group, don't come to my home group. That's my home group. Right? Like, my recovery is my responsibility, and that I understand because I don't want to die today because Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life worth living. And so, like, I'm in this relationship. It's whack. It's crazy. Whatever. Got out of that one. I don't know how. I can't really remember, but. So, anyway. At that time, I decided a couple different things. I decided I was not going to live with a man until I had a ring on my finger. That was something I wanted to do different in Narcotics Anonymous because I always did that. I was either moving in with you or you were moving in with me, and we were like crazy. And it was just the way that my life went. And I decided when I got clean I wasn't going to do that. And thank God that I stuck to that one, right? The other one was that I wasn't going to look through his phone. I wasn't going to do it. I said, I don't want to be that person. It causes me pain. Because even if there's not something in there, I will see something in there because my head lies to me. This thing is mean up here, right? And so, like I said, I'm not going to look through a phone. And so that relationship that lasted 3 years that I later found out I had been being cheated on the entire time, and he had a whole, like, second life, that who, mind you, I didn't move in with because I didn't have a ring, right? And so, like, here I am, which could have been a sign, maybe. I was in denial. I don't know. Anyway, so after, like, the second or third relapse of his or something, one night I looked at his phone to find out, hey, you were supposed to come right back. It's my kid's birthday party. What are you doing? I looked through the phone. And that was the first time I had acted out on that defect since I made the decision not to, right? So it had been 3 years. And so then, here I am. I'm like, never going to do that again. Here I am, act out on that. Because that is That is the compulsive action behind my obsession. And I understand that that is the disease working in my life. My obsession is that, like, something's going on and I must know so I can fix it. I have control. All this craziness. I'm not good enough. All this stuff. The obsession. And the compulsion is when I pick it up and I actually do it. Right? The same with the dope. When I obsess over the dope, and that the compulsive action is that I do it and I don't know how to stop. And so when I do that with this defect, I don't know how to stop. And I cause myself pain, and then I'm sitting there in fetal position and I don't know how to stop. And so, like, I find myself here in this beautiful relationship with a beautiful man who has treated me like a princess since day one, who actually surprised me here, was working today. I come back from the water hole and I'm like, that truck looks familiar. And I had no idea. There was no way. It's 3.5 hours. He, like, no, we discussed this is, you know, like, this is what I'm doing. And he just showed up, you know, said, like, I was coming to support you, right? But I also wanted to make sure you had time with your friends who showed up from Myrtle Beach to support you. And so, like, what a beautiful thing. Anyway, so my defects, my insecurity, right, which means now more work that I have to do, and that's always fun behind it. Oh, you need to pull out those 7-step prayers. Where's your insecurity prayer? You need to pull that one back out. Where's that one, right? And so here I am. I find myself obsessing, and here's what happened. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say that I was obsessing over looking at his phone. I was saying to you, I'm not okay. I was saying to you, I'm struggling. I was saying this is hard and I don't know what's happening, but I wasn't telling you what I was obsessing over. So when there's a burning desire and you have a desire to use, share. And like, I sit in so many meetings. I remember this right before my 1 year, and I'm sitting in the meeting and I showed up late. And I'm getting better with that. And the burning desire, I had missed it. But I was the first one to share as soon as I sat down that I wanted to use. But my disease and my thinking said, don't share that. You're not supposed to want to use. Why not? I'm a drug addict and I like drugs. Why is it not okay for me to say I want to use drugs? And I can remember after that meeting, she says to me, this lady, she says, I was starting to think you weren't an addict, honey, because you never want to use. And I'm like, I do want to use, right? And so, like, here I am in this situation, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say this is what's in my head and this is what's going on. And so, like, and I acted out on it. And, like, my head will find some shit that will screw me up. And now I find myself in this place, like, now I got more freaking work to do. And I beat myself up and I said to my sponsor, I feel like I used, right? Because I have this defect that I have now acted out on twice in 5 years. And I feel like I used. And, like, the thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that, like, the manifestation is in all areas of our lives. And unless I stay connected to this program, connected with a sponsor, connected with step work, connected with a higher power, connected with you, coming to functions like this, doing service, unless I'm doing those things, the manifestation will continue. And sometimes it's not all, like, it's always about the dope. But sometimes, like, it's about my thinking that will leave me with my back against a wall, that I will feel like I have no other choice other than to use dope, right? So, like, when I'm not thinking about dope, the dope is coming. When I'm not getting in the solution, and that I understand today, when I act out on things that cause me pain. And I'm so grateful that I have a sponsor who has taught me that. And that came from allowing her to help me. I can have a sponsor all day long, and if I ain't using her, I'm not getting what a sponsor can give me. That is the heartbeat of the program, and I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful that my sponsor tells me the truth. I remember one time we're sitting in a meeting, right, and this is in the midst of the denial in that one relationship, right? And we're in the meeting, and I think it was after maybe a second relapse that I went through, and we're in this meeting, and she's saying, he never gets consequences. Now, we are sitting in a meeting. The meeting is starting, and I am fighting with my sponsor, and I'm saying, you're wrong. That is not true, because I got to defend him, you know, right? And no, you are wrong. And the lady across the room points over, and she's, take it outside. why? You know? And like what I took from that was that like my sponsor needs me too. Right? Like in that moment she was right. But I don't think I ever told her that. But when she hears this, she'll get a kick out of that one. And but like I understand that my sponsor needs me too. Like this is a two-way street. And when my sponsor, when her husband relapsed, and she's got all these years clean, and I'm not trying to tell her story, but my story is that like I sat in a meeting and I listened to her cry uncontrollably. I sat in a meeting and I watched her hardly able to walk, and these women are showing up to carry her. And like that taught me that no matter what, I am to be honest, because unless I'm honest, I can't get in the solution. Unless I tell you that I need help, I can't get in the solution. There's the honesty piece. The open-mindedness is then listening to you. Not just listening. I think I said this to someone earlier. Not just listening, right? But like really taking the suggestion. That's the willingness. The open-mindedness is sitting there, taking it in, right? That second step, like, okay, I think there's a possibility here. The willingness, right? The willingness is what's really important for me in Narcotics Anonymous, is that like, unless I become willing to change in this program, only then can I grow. And so like now, I'm like, so now I've changed everything in my life, everything. And I took this leap of faith, and like, I know growth is coming because that's my experience. My experience is that like when I stay in my higher power's will, and like, I know it sounds crazy, like, well, but, because to me, like, well, how do you know? How do you know that you're in God's will, right? And I remember when I first got clean, I was in this other thing, you know, this other place that was holding me accountable, and that's an outside thing. We don't need stuff like that. All we need is Narcotics Anonymous. That place led me to Narcotics Anonymous, but Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and I don't get that twisted for one second. But like, I'm in this other thing, you know, and I said to somebody, how do I know when it's time to leave? And they said, when it's easy, and you don't have to manipulate the situation, and you don't have to put your hands in and move it around. Like, that's how, for me, like, that's how you'll know that you're in God's will, right? And so like, when I'm getting ready to come to Maryland, I start struggling. I'm struggling in Myrtle Beach before I even came. And really funny, when Shaney asked me to do this, I said to my sponsor, yeah, by July, I'll be on the other side of it. Everything's going to be great. And she says, honey, no. Like, she's like, no, it's okay. You know, and I'm like, and she was right. She was right about that one, too. Would have been a, God. And so, like, I'm in Myrtle Beach, and I'm getting ready to move, right? And now, like, so here's a really cool thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that it gave me a change in perspective. No longer was DSS after me. Like DSS was in my life because I used. I became able to, like, add that together. No longer was it that, like, my mother hated me and didn't want me around. It was that my mother wanted me in jail because she didn't want me to die. Like, I stopped seeing as if the world was against me, right? And my perspective changed. And so here I am, I'm in Myrtle Beach, I'm getting ready to move, and like my thinking's all messed up, and I'm like focusing on what I'm losing, and I would have to make these conscious decisions, an active change, right, in my thoughts. An active change, like literally like, okay, nope, okay, starting out focusing on what I'm gaining and not on what I'm losing. And so when I find myself doing that, I can get in a better place. And then I start thinking, well, this seems hard. I must not be in God's will. I must not be. And what I had to remember, see, the really great thing about this program is when I don't use, I gain some experience. And what I remembered was that even when I left that place and I didn't have to manipulate and I didn't have to put my hands in to get an outcome that I wanted, it was still hard. It was still scary. It was still change. It was still like, you know, making sure like everything was right and all these things. And so that didn't mean that I wasn't in God's will. What I was supposed to do? Live in recovery house forever? Like, you know, I did what I was supposed to do and I didn't put my hands in, but it was still scary. And so like I find myself about to come here and I'm like, this is hard and scary. It must not be right. And then this lady calls me and she says, I met your uncle, and he said you're about to graduate with your paralegal degree, and I'd like you to go ahead and start working for me now. While I was in Myrtle Beach, she's in Maryland, where I'm getting ready to move to. Never met her. She knows I'm a drug addict, right? And I'm like, sure, you know? So now here I am. I have a job already in a state I don't live in with a woman I've never even met, right? And yet I'm still trying to deny the fact that, like, I'm following this path. So then we apply for this place, and because we're renting first, because I don't know, I feel like that was smart. I don't know. I'm going to figure out where I actually want to live in the town anyway. So we applied for this place, get denied, background comes back, you know, stuff I didn't even know was on there. And 04, like, what? Where'd that one come from? I forgot about that one. And so then we get denied on one. This next one, the guy says, yeah, I'm going to run your background. I said, you know what? I'm going to just call a guy. So I call him. I tell him, this is what you're fitting to find. This is what's there. This is who I am today. This is how I live today. And I don't have to tell him it's because of Narcotics Anonymous. It attraction rather than promotion, right? Like, this is how I live. Well, let me call some references. You go ahead and call my two jobs. I've been at both for now 4.5 years. I've been at the same two jobs because I know how to stick and stay now, and I know how to show up for life, and I know how to, like, not rob you, right? And so, like, he calls back, and he's like, this is what he says to me. He says, congratulations, I'd like to rent to you guys. And I'm like, in this bougie-ass neighborhood. And I'm like, really? Thank you. Thank you so much. And you know what he says? He says, I'm not doing you a favor. He said, you guys deserve this. And I'm like, you're right. Thank you. Thank you so much, right? You know? And so, like, there's the thing. Like, because of Narcotics Anonymous, my life is beyond my wildest dreams. Like, and it's not just that outside stuff. It's learning how to love myself enough to pick up the phone and not be scared to say, this is who I am. This is who I was. And this is who I am today. And I don't live like that anymore. Right? And I'm just so grateful that because of Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to find a new way of life. Right? So I got my kids back, and they moved with me. Okay? Like, they moved with me. And my mom isn't scared that I can't take care of my children anymore. Like, my mom believes in who I am as a mother because of Narcotics Anonymous. And my mom was the one. My mom was the one who put me in jail. When I had a year clean, my mom takes me outside and she's crying, right? And I'm like, what's wrong, Mom? You know, she's like, I gotta tell you something. And she looked scared. She looked scared. I could see the fear in her eyes. And she said, Missy, I was the one that called the cops on you that day. And she's bawling. And I think she thinks, right, I'm going to act as if I always did. Right? How dare you? Oh, poor me. What a terrible mother you are. What did I ever do to deserve this? Right? All that. And I thanked her for saving my life because I needed to be stopped. I needed somebody then to tell me the truth, just like I need in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't need you to lie to me. I don't need you to tell me, honey, it's okay that you use. It's not okay that I use, right? Like, the bottom line is when I come in here, I get a choice, and it is not okay for me to pick up. But what the literature says is that the shame is not in using. The shame is in not coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. That is what the literature says. And it is important for us to understand that. Please keep coming back. And I hope that you come back clean. That's what I was taught. And thank God that the doors were open in Narcotics Anonymous for me. Because I did use. And I did come back. And when I came back and I did something different and I started to practice some honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, and I took some suggestions and I stayed connected. And my sponsor said, you get in the middle of the boat. Don't sit in the back. The back, you're going to get kicked off. Don't sit around the side. When the boat sinks, you're going to fall off. Get in the middle of the boat. Stay connected. Get a service commitment. My first service commitment, I was a chairperson.
for 90 days straight, and I ran the meeting. And that meeting wasn't going to go on without me, and I just knew it. And I was like, yeah, this meeting's my meeting. And this is this. And my sponsor said, oh, no, you're done. Like, you know, you're done. You're done because Narcotics Anonymous will go on without me. That I understand today, but I can't go on without Narcotics Anonymous. See, because this is the program that saved my life. And like, I get it real twisted when people, like, I get all like in my feelings. You're like, oh, you mean you came here, you got the gifts, and now you're not coming back? What's wrong with you? And like, the bottom line is that like, I have to go back to the beginning, and I have to stay in the basics. And I have to understand that we are sick, that I am a sick person. And like, I heard someone share it recently about sitting on the other side. And like, I know for me that like, I hope that you tell me the truth. And so like, if I hurt you by telling you the truth, please call your sponsor. I'm sorry. And like, if I hurt you by telling you the truth, please know that it's in love, because I don't want us. People are dying. Like, I can't even count how many funerals I've been to already, and I've not been here that long, and I keep that real simple, right? Like, the bottom line for me is that, like, I have to stay humble. All I have is today. And like, when I forget that, I forget that I need you. And when I forget I need you, I'm not sitting in the meeting hearing you talking about steps. When I forget I need you and I'm not sitting in the meeting and I'm not hearing you talk about steps, I'm not working them. When I'm not working them, I'm miserable. I might be clean, but I might be miserable. And today I don't want to be miserable. I want to live because of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And so like, here I am. I'm in Maryland now. My kids, I have an ability to sit them down and talk to them, right? Well, one brushed me off yesterday morning when I tried to have a conversation with her. They're 12 and 13 now, and they grew up at going to campouts in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, they know. So we're sitting at dinner, and I said, you know, Jess and Kim are coming, and she says, Jess who? And I was like, Jess. She said, your sponsee? This is my 13-year-old. Your sponsee? And I said, yeah, my sponsee. Do you know what a sponsee is? And she said, yeah, you're her sponsor. And I said, do you know what that means? Right? And she said, that means you tell her what to do. And I said, well, no, honey, but, you know, I'll give her suggestions, right? And I said, well, what do we talk about? And she said, step work, right? And I said, and like, what else do we talk about? She said, meetings, right? When you hear your child say that, like, it was like this reminder, like, thank God, like, thank you for reminding me of what I, like, how I do this. I do this because I continue to go to meetings. I now have a home group, which is called Life Support. Called Life Support. And it's in California, Maryland. And it's on Wednesday nights at 7 or 7:30. And I will be there next Wednesday. And I will try to get a commitment at the first business meeting I attend, right? And so, like, thank God that there are people, even my children, who tell me the truth and remind me why I continue to come to Narcotics Anonymous. This program has saved my life. I am beyond grateful. And so, like, I know Tim was coming this way, so I'm about out of time. And I want to say this. And like, here's what I was taught when I came in this program, was that like, it was important for me to pay attention to the similarities, the feelings. When I hear you share about the desperation that you had, right? When I hear you share about the despair and the pain and the turmoil and the agony, and I hear you share about walking the streets and not knowing where you were going to lay your head and using against your will, I can relate. And when I hear you share about the good things that happen in this program, I get hope. And so, like, it was important for me to pay attention to the similarities and not to separate myself, because I might not have done it how you did it, or I might not have done it for how long you did it, right? And so, like, it was important that I paid attention to the similarities. And so, like, my head is telling me before I come up here, nobody wants to hear from me because I look young. I am young. I'm young and narcotics not, yes. And because I look young and I've sat in meetings where my blonde hair I would feel like would separate me, right? And I've sat in those kinds of meetings too. And like and I'm like, they don't want to hear what I have to say because I don't have as much clean time as them. But it's important for me to say that I have today. And I just celebrated 6 years on the 13th, and like I am grateful. I am grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, and like and not that I'm ashamed of my clean time, but I wanted to be able to share a message that like any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life without like because of empathy, because I have an ability to know what it's like to sit in a meeting and wonder, can I get anything from this person? And today I know that I can, because when someone stands up with one day clean, you are saving my life. Thank you. And thank you for letting me share. I'm Missy and I'm an addict.